This is Tanya Lynn with the Sistership Circle podcast. From spirituality, sexuality, and sisterhood to business, relationships, contribution, and creativity, the Sistership Circle podcast introduces a new model of feminine leadership where women get real and vulnerable about it all. Tune in for authentic advice that will empower you to be bold, beautiful, and brilliant as your true self. Welcome to the Sistership Circle podcast. I am Tanya Lynn, and today I am so excited to get really, really juicy and succulent with the amazing Saida. And so let me share a little bit about her. And I'm just realizing, Saida, that I do not know how to pronounce your name or your last name.
Désilée.
Oh, and it's just so perfect that you just bring that, the French just beauty to you. So Saida Désilée, PhD, is a thought leader, speaker, and succulents revolutionary on the growing edge of researching how women can use their minds, bodies, and spirits to create richer lives through their sensual selves. She's the world-leading authority in the Jade Egg practice and founder of Désilée's Method, a system that creates more pleasure, sexual aliveness, and deep self-love. She's a co-contributor to the best-selling books of Dr. Christiane Northrup and Dr. Rachel Abrams, and has led transformational workshops and seminars for women around the globe for the past 13 years. She is the author of The Emergence of the Sensual Woman, Awakening Our Erotic Innocence, and serves as a guide to women who believe in transformation as a lifelong path of learning, discovery, and walk to freedom. So I am so excited to have this conversation. We're going to go deep and be edgy and everything else in between. So welcome, Saida. I would love for you to start by sharing, like, how did you get on this journey of sexuality?
Well, the first thing I want to say, Tanya, is my deep, deep appreciation of you and my absolute delight in what this podcast is attempting to do, because I think right now we're at a leading edge in the women's empowerment business. Right now, there's a, it's almost like, there was the do and then the re, do, re, mi. And so we're now heading into re, we're heading into the next octave of female empowerment and leadership. And I am excited that you are one of the people leading that path, because there's a phenomenal amount of, there's just a request or a need for us to all up level our offerings, our genuine self, our authentic selves, and kind of shed away some of the illusions that the marketing can do in this world. And I think my pet peeve with this particular industry is that here we are empowering women, and yet the leaders within the industry often compete against each other, steal from each other, parrot each other. There's a lot of weird behaviors. So I'm calling that out right away at the start of this call, because I am so in alignment with you, Tanya, and in alignment with what you're calling forth in the world. And myself as a leader, I feel that it is important that we acknowledge each other in leadership positions, going, wow, okay, you are walking your talk, you're doing your thing. Who are you? Tell me more. Let's get together. Let's really be part of this collective. And for those who aren't walking the talk, let's invite them to up their game. Let's invite them to step up and really come to a place of authentic self-love and authentic creation, because that's what's really needed in this movement. So I just wanted to say that at the beginning before we jump into my history, because it's really alive for me right now as the women's empowerment movement is going through a massive transformation. So I'm excited to be here today.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that that is what I love about you, is just your enthusiasm and the passion. I mean, I just hear it in your voice. This passion and excitement for sisterhood and collaboration and co-creation, and just you lead from your heart and really extend yourself to want to connect with other women. And I'm just so excited that our paths have crossed and that we get to do this thing together. Yes.
So you asked how I got into this, and it's sort of a long story. So I'll try to give a little quick, like a commercial version, like the trailer version of what started. I believe that I was born into a family where erotic innocence was something both parents decided to not domesticate or socialize within me and also with my sister. So I was born into a family where sexuality, self-pleasuring, being in our bodies, being affectionate, connecting with nature, trusting our bodies to heal themselves, all of this was part of my daily life. I grew up on Native reservations in Canada and got exposed to a lot of different ways of relating to reality. And sensuality and sexuality, coming from a French family, it was just a natural part of life. And it was a way that my parents expressed love towards each other. So it never bothered me. I didn't have schisms around it. But I quickly understood with all the sexual abuse that was happening on the reservations and around me that something else was going on. So by the age of 5 years old, believe it or not, I taught my first workshop. So I was 5 years old and I had discovered this amazing place in my body that I thought all other five-year-old girls needed to know about because it was so fabulous. I couldn't even believe how fabulous it was. So there I was, imagine just a little group of five-year-old girls, and I was literally showing them where this spot was on my body for them to find theirs, and we got caught. And the older sister came in and pulled me by the hair and threw me out the house, and I was the devil's spawn, and I was completely, you know, just, she was very angry. And I remember thinking, she probably doesn't know about this spot, because if she did, she wouldn't be so angry. So I always had sort of this inner rebelliousness. I always have had this coming from a deep place within myself and understanding something in me, not necessarily through an external conceptual way, but a very visceral gift that I have with sensuality and sexuality. So that's where it began. Then fast forward to early 20s and experiencing a violent rape that led to me having 2 weeks to live and having to face my own death very young and having to face something I didn't understand. And we live in a culture where sexuality is a commodity. It's a currency. It's not revered. It's not even seen as something that's innately part of being human. We're actually sexual beings, not sexual doings. So I didn't know that then. I didn't understand it then. So that initiation through pain, but eventually it became a point of power for me, is I discovered the path to conscious sexuality. And that's how this all began. And we are going to talk about the jade egg. So this was instrumental in the profound healing that I experienced, not only in the actual cellular memory held in my genitals from that experience, but also in the level of connecting my heart with my genitals, in my essence and consciousness with all that I am, and finally starting to adhere and to live by my inherent genius. So we'll talk about all that, but that's a little synopsis of where it all began. And why I'm such an incredible, still to this day, it's literally been 2 decades. So to this day, having the same enthusiasm and the same wowness. In fact, I'm about to jump into doing some medical research where we're finally going to show some things, if you use this properly, some of the transformations that happen. That's super, super leading edge and very, very exciting. I can't talk about it here, but maybe on another interview when we're, you know, in the point where we can talk about that, because I think that is going to be very epic to reveal to the public.
Mm. Wow. Well, I mean, that's the first time I've heard your story, and I'm just blown away by a few things. One is that piece of like, wow, if she knew this spot, you know, she wouldn't be doing that. And just being raised the exact opposite and never being exposed to anything. Didn't know what self-pleasure was until, I mean, I didn't masturbate until in my late 20s. So just coming from a completely different perspective, it's like, wow, you know, like, and me as a mother now being so present to a different way of raising my own daughter, of having her be comfortable with her sexuality. So, this is amazing. Okay, so let's dive into the jade egg, because I'm sure that a lot of women have heard about it or have not heard about it and are curious. And so tell us about this amazing tiny little jewel of a of a transformational tool.
Yeah, I mean, I literally call it a tiny tool of transformation. So, but the important thing to understand is that this itself cannot do anything of an itself. It is a tool. And what is it a tool for? It is a tool for you to anchor your choice to come home to yourself, period. That's it. Everything else that emerges from that space is like bonus. The main purpose of this tool is for you as a woman to shed the social conditioning, to shed the domestication, and to finally listen and hear and be at home with yourself. That's it. What it is as a physical thing, because some of you may not know or have heard of a jade egg before, what you're looking for when you explore what it is real, authentic nephrite jade. It's very important because there's very little of it on the planet that's left. The Chinese market is eating it all up. So most of what's being sold, including on Amazon and including as authentic nephrite jade, isn't. So you really need now to ask if the seller has a GIA certified, like a certification of their jade. It is the only way to know for sure, because there's a lot of dyeing of other crystals and all this other stuff. Actually, if it's quite cheap, it's definitely not jade. Jade is jade, some version of it can actually be more precious than gold in its own weight. That's what's amazing. Every year when you purchase real jade, it goes up in value. So it's like a monetary investment. If you want to invest your money in something, jade is actually worthy because it just keeps going up. So that's what it is. It's a real piece of jade. This one comes from Canada. So, and I work exclusively with a mine in Canada, and they sustainably mine. That's what's very important to me. And they do not sell to, they don't want to sell out. So they keep small production. And so I love it. And they're great. And they're very familiar with why they're like an egg-shaped piece of jade. Like for them, it was a whole new thing, but now they're really into it. So that's what it is. And then the introduction of jade egg in a woman's life is really, the first question is, would you love to feel more at home here in your body, in yourself? And if the answer is yes on any level, whether it's I'd love to feel more at home with my sexuality, I'd love to feel at home more at home with my own heart because I keep having heartbreak, or I'd love to feel at home in my body because I feel betrayed because I got this kind of cancer or this kind of ailment or this kind of imbalance, or I'd like to feel at home in my body because I left my body when I experienced sexual trauma or some kind of abuse, or I'd like to feel more at home in my body because I've been told that as you age, you're worthless as a woman, and I'm an older woman now and I don't feel like my worth anymore. Or maybe even on a positive side, you've got it all sorted, you're feeling really good, you're not that influenced by social conditioning, and yet you still feel like there's more to all of this. And so the jade egg practice can open that portal. So that's how I wanted to introduce it.
I love that. I have a kind of, I don't know if it's like a logistical question here, but, you know, so what is it about the jade? Because could you potentially have a rose quartz?
Right.
Egg, right? So what
I love this question.
Yeah,
I love this question. I did not know this initially, because unless you're a gemologist, you really don't know much about the structure of different gems and different stones. And what I found out is that crystals have crystalline structure. Well, that makes sense, right? They're crystals. So rose quartz and obsidian and all these different amethyst, they're crystalline structures. Crystalline structures are porous. So as a personal tool of transformation, it's not that hygienic to have something that's porous, because long term, it's virtually impossible to clean it properly. What's interesting about authentic jade is it doesn't have a crystalline structure. The fibers of jade are so tightly interwoven that they're not porous, and they're so difficult that to carve out an egg size shape like this in quartz crystal, for example, takes a few minutes. It will take hours for jade because it's so strong. It's also slightly flexible, so it's really hard for them to like mine it and get it out, and tools break all the time. It's also great because if you drop a quartz egg on the floor, and you will drop your egg, it's just all part of the adventure of having an egg and wearing your egg, it'll smash. Obsidian smashes. So it becomes expensive after a while if your eggs keep smashing. Jade shouldn't break. And so that's why I tell people, if you got it from me and there's some kind of weird break, it can happen, but it's very rare. I think in the 15 years I've been sharing jade egg stuff, I've only had to replace like 3 eggs, and I've sold probably tens of thousands of eggs at this point. So because I use the authentic jade. So that's what you want to look out for. If you just want to try it, it's not going to particularly harm your body, but for more daily use and regularly use, I would recommend make the investment and get something that isn't porous to use inside.
Fascinating. It's just so, I love this. And I'm just present to the fact that you are a doctor, a PhD, you know, who's done so much research and are able to really go into the science, like you said at the beginning, you know, doing the scientific research behind this. And it's just, it's incredible. And just such a, you know, I mean, the jade egg, it's very ancient tradition, right? So what can you tell us a little bit about history and even like what are some of the ways that you use it?
Okay, so historically it's very difficult to trace. And here's why. I think because female traditions were always oral traditions. If you really want to learn this practice, I believe the best way is face-to-face, in a limbic resonance, because an embodied practitioner will transmit to you far more than what she could ever say or demonstrate, because you're actually getting to her limbic system, what it actually feels and looks like to have this as an embodiment. So that's one caveat, and I think that's why these traditions were always orally transmitted and very little writing was done on it. However, Taoist practitioners are not the only ones that used the internal tool, let's call it. There's also a lineage of that within the tantras. There's a lineage of that, I believe, even in the Jewish tradition. So I'm thinking probably we could trace, but it's hard to because it was oral. We could probably trace tools that women use throughout the ages to help with their fertility, to help with even understanding how to give birth properly. That was something I learned about the jade egg when I worked on a birth forum, was how it was phenomenal at teaching women how to birth, because there's nothing that women learn throughout their whole life as to how do I actually birth. And so the opening and pressing and melting that is required to push the egg out of your body is supposedly, according to these the birth professionals I worked with, the exact same motion that a woman needs to do in order to birth. And so they were saying this would be phenomenal training for mothers before even conceiving, like just that whole preparation of the body, mind, spirit. So that's kind of exciting. So I can't give you too much more on the traditions because a lot of it is mythology, and it's been very hard for me to find like a true source, because when I do finally trace it, it's like, oh, that was written by like 8 men. So how do we know that's actually real? So that's been my frustration with it. But the good news about it is it exists. And the lineage that I was originally trained in, my body rejected. So imagine a body of a sexually very open and free woman who's very at home in herself. And then she goes to learn a tradition that's supposed to help her like become more spiritual around her sexuality. And her body goes, ugh. Now, because I'm undomesticated in that sense, I'm going to listen to my, I'm not going to repress that and push and try to fit into a mold, because I'll be like, wait a second, something's not right in my feminine body. And so that's where I branched off and created my own method And that's what I've been teaching women for over 15, 16 years, is that particular method that I developed based on that initial, like, blech, there's some good here, but the majority of it isn't matching an already awakened feminine sensual being. So that's a little bit historically, maybe, it's about it. And I've used the methodology, like you said, I did a PhD. So I literally did a study. What are the effects of doing this concentrated practice on a woman's psychosexual well-being? And the results blew my mind so much that it actually completely changed how I was teaching once I got those results as well. So that's been very exciting. And then collaborating with a leading OBGYN in the last few years and getting her input on what she prescribes to her patients. And she sees very difficult patients, patients where it's like their last hope end up with her. And many times she'll prescribe the jade egg as part of their therapy to heal their bodies. So I find that really fascinating. So we're sort of creating our own modern day tradition based on, first, embodied wisdom, secondly, psychological type research, and then thirdly, medical research. So it's a very, I think, a very grounded and true, like tried and true piece. And yet out there, what's available to a lot of women is a lot of hoo-ha and a lot of hype, and actually some practices that are very harmful, both on a psychological level and a physical level. So I'm just saying that caveat because there's so much excitement around jade egg right now. And literally a lot of the teachers I come across, they've read a paragraph in a book and they say, well, this is great, I'm going to teach it. Or they did a weekend. This is great, I'm going to teach it. Some women I've confronted, I said, well, how embodied are you in this? They're like, well, I do, you know, a few minutes every day for the last few years. I'm like, well, that's not enough. Have you ever like sat with a teacher who transmitted an embodied frequency of that? Do you even know what you're doing when a woman who's had all this trauma suddenly like comes home into her own body and stuff starts to move? Can you handle that so that you don't, you know, reintegrate the trauma on a deeper level, but actually help her find liberation? So those are my questions to those types of teachers. And then usually at some point in the discussion, they either realize they need more training or they tell me to F off, or they decide it's not for them to be teaching it and move on to a different kind of thing to teach women. So it's a very interesting time. It's an interesting time because women want to come back to their bodies. They want to release their domestication. They want to understand things. And yet we still habitually give our power away. So here's the deal, ladies. If you're looking for a teacher, find one who's not invested in making you like them, in following them forever and ever, and who wants you to believe what they're saying. One of the first things I tell all my students, don't believe a word I'm saying. Try it out. You got to figure this out on your own. I will support you. I will show you where I've been on this path, but maybe your path is slightly different. Here are the things that work for me. I'm not sure they'll work for you. These have worked for all these other women. Maybe try that. But you're a very unique person. So generic information isn't always useful. So I know you want to say something. So I'm going to pause because I get really excited when we talk about this.
I know. Oh my God. I mean, seriously, I could totally talk about this all day with you. And the thing that like I'm really, really present to is this embodiment piece. And you know, a lot of the women who I work with are being trained to facilitate circles, and it's this thing where, you know, it takes experience. And I love how, I mean, you're teaching so many distinctions around being an embodied leader or an embodied teacher, and the, you know, really walking the path. And, you know, a master always still is bringing it back to like, how am I still a student? Like, and that's what I'm really hearing from you is you've done this for 15 years. I mean, you're at this level of mastery, and yet you're still researching. You're still being a student of the work and keeping the purity of the practice and like really calling forth integrity in the industry. And I think this is a really important piece for all the women who are stepping into feminine leadership, of that integrity piece. And, you know, it's the humility and being humble about the path, and that we can't just become a master in a weekend, you know.
And what's interesting is marketing ploys. I mean, I've literally sat in meetings with teachers whose business advisor was saying, let's make you the grandmaster so that your advanced students become masters and then everyone can make more money. I mean, it's not because they actually had mastery. And that shocked me. I've witnessed people that I personally have met knowing very well by just even looking at their posture, how they walk, like there's something really off sexually that they haven't sorted yet, and yet they're teaching the practice. I'm like, I get that you're inspired to teach it, but I also get there's, you're not even in your body. How can you teach this if you're not even in your own body? It's like wanting to, I had a teacher once who said, you know, this is how you should eat. And she would list all these things that I should eat. And then she'd turn around and eat all this shit. I'm like, I can't take advice from you if you're telling me to eat in these pure ways and you're turning around eating shit. I mean, it's confusing to my system because now I want to eat shit, because that's what's embodied in you is the shit eating, not the other way. And so I love the story. There's a story of Gandhi, where a mother brought a child and said, you know, Gandhi, please help me with my child because he's addicted to sugar and you need to tell him to stop eating sugar. And Gandhi said, well, come back in 2 weeks. And then she comes back in 2 weeks and Gandhi looks at the child and says, stop eating sugar. And she said, well, why couldn't you say that 2 weeks ago? He said, well, 2 weeks ago I was eating sugar. So that's what I mean. And because you're calling forth leadership, Tanya, I am very, very wanting to put a call out to anyone in a leadership position. Are you embodied? Right now we are in a day and an age where we can't fool people anymore. Our authenticity, our vulnerability, what we truly live, what we truly know. And you know what? We don't know everything. And part of being a leader is to admit where we are underbellies. It's to admit that we may not have all the solutions, but here's what we do have. And being willing to maybe defer to someone else that might have more expertise or more embodiment for an aspect or a facet. That has much more, for me, authenticity and respect than trying to convince the people in your world that you have all the answers, you're the new solution to the full female empowerment, and everyone should just do exactly as you say and give you, you know, I don't know, $100,000. I don't know what it is, but, you know, with the marketing stuff, it ends up being really crazy, and I have no issues with people charging what they're worth. My issue more is, let's not exploit on women's vulnerabilities and insecurities, even though that is what we're taught in marketing. Learn what your avatar's pain points are and sell to that. Okay, but let's have integrity, because I can know your pain, but I want to serve you. I know that you are already powerful. You are not broken. In fact, all you need, maybe, you may not even need this, but if you're in my world, most likely what you're needing is just to remember what you already innately know in your inherent genius. That is it. Everything else is just food for contemplation and fun stuff for discussion. So in my world, that's my default. You're powerful. You're not broken. And this, especially in sexuality, is so important. It's so important. And that you are the one that is creating the transformation, not the jade egg, not swinging surfboards from your crotch, not, you know, wowing some guy with your multi-orgasmic capacities or being able to seduce 10 different guys in a week, but your true alignment with your own inherent genius and allowing that to lead in your life. And then anything else you choose to do from that core point, great. It's like fun. It's like entertainment. Now you become discerning because you're running it through you first versus going, okay, I'm going to default all my power to this expert. Because ladies, that's what we need to stop. As leaders, we need to stop asking that default to happen in those who are coming forth with asking our support. And for those who are in that role of looking for support, you are powerful. And the person who you're choosing as the one to inspire you right now, she's your equal. The only difference is that she walked that little part of the journey more than you have, but you have walked a different part of the journey more than she has. And that's what I mean by a collective, a circle of collaborative, powerful, empowered women, that every single one of us could stand up in circle and lead it. And I just get the privilege in my little, you know, fragment of that circle to go, hey, I happen to know a very special spot in the body. I happen to know that when you come home to yourself and reunite very deeply with right relationship, some incredible things can happen. And then someone else like you, Tanya, or our friend Lisa, or all these other women can then stand up and go, hey, I happen to know this. And then together as a collective, we form the whole picture.
Yes, you're speaking the language of Sistership Circle. I love it. And everything that you just shared was so inspiring. You know, this is something that I'm constantly striving food. I mean, exactly. It's, you know, wanting my baby to eat so healthy. And I do such a fabulous job. But, you know, so many times it's like, I'm eating a piece of cake in front of her, you know, and I have to not beat myself up for it. But knowing that it's not just what I'm putting on her plate, that's only going to get me so far. I really have to make those changes myself. And I'm very conscious of that. And at the same time, not beating myself up over having a piece of chocolate or cake.
Exactly. And then she can see that once in a while, a treat is great, but it's not your main meal, right? Yeah. And same thing with sexuality, ladies, especially for the mothers. If you want a healthy and expressed and powerful embodied woman, your daughter to become that woman or your son to become that man, they are learning through your direct embodiment, through limbic resonance has more impact than anything you can say or do. So if you feel in yourself like, wow, I actually need to get a little more integrated with that part of myself, then check it out and follow that truth for yourself, and you'd be offering you and your children a beautiful gift.
I love that. You know, it's so true. The limbic resonance, and I've never heard that term, but it's, yeah, that's the embodiment piece that is just so missing in a culture where we're, you know, women are so cut off at the neck, you know, and so in this masculine conceptual point of view of the world. And for me, I really believe, and I know this is what you're talking about. It's about us women dropping down into the body, and that teaching perspective of wisdom comes from the embodied experience. And that is how you teach, you know. It's not just here, I'm going to hand you a book, but I'm actually, you know, it's through my, who I'm being and how I'm embodying this work that you're really going to learn it best from me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we, just the other day, something I came across, you know, an email was sent to me and said, oh, I think I know why the culture is like this. And there was literally an ad. You don't need any knowledge, any experience, or any education. You can lead a successful business. Let me show you how, for free. And I was like, wow, well, this must be what's going on in our culture, where we know we're into fast food, everything. Drive-through experiences, drive-through sex, drive-through education, drive-through dating, parenting, whatever. It's like fast, fast, quick. What's the solution? What's the pill? And in, deep inside, we are all yearning. There's like a hunger, a powerful calling to have a much more profound relationship with life. It feels kind of bland or tasteless or unsatisfying to chew on emptiness, to drink emptiness, and that yet that's what we're serving up, and that's what we're buying. So embodiment to me is the solution to that. And it's simple. It's not about perfection. It's actually not about being perfect. It's just about having the what's inside is equally shown externally. So I'm not hiding the, when you get from me, when you hear me speak, it's a direct, I'm not hiding something. I'm not making up something. And we can feel that in our bodies. I've sat with people before, great teachers, where their mouths are moving, but I can't hear anything. it's a weird phenomenon for me, but I know that's because my body is going, I'm hearing something different than what's going in the ear. And so it's causing this cognitive dissonance. And so that limbic resonant piece is from a book called The General Theory of Love. I recommend everyone to look into it, especially if you're in leadership positions or counseling positions or a healer or a teacher or a parent, for you to understand the impact of who you are on everyone around you. Profound. It is a theory. It's written by 3 different doctors. And I feel that it's the most accurate, like, scientific view on love, on connection, mammalian brain connection. And I have seen that as a speaker and teacher and leader, if I don't walk my talk, I might as well shut up. Because I didn't enjoy learning from teachers who were just blabbing away theory and ideas. It would drive me crazy. And I loved learning from teachers. And some of my teachers are little children. They're not guru masters. Some of my teachers are animals in the wilderness. Some of my teachers direct nature. Because there's this incredible transmission, I'm like, oh my God, the sunset just gave me an orgasm. I mean, it's just so phenomenal. How did that happen? You know? And so being able to come to that place and go, well, I want to be an authentic human being. I want to, as Brené Brown says, you know, live a wholehearted life. So if you don't know her work, please, like, look into her. She's amazing. And be the person that we kind of long for in others. Become that person.
I love that. And if you go to the show notes of this call, then you will find links to both of those books, Brené Brown and General Theory of Love. And I can't believe that we have to wrap up now. So we will definitely have to have you back another time. Can you share with us any other resources on your site, or even how to get a jade egg from you? In closing, you know, just how people can find your work.
Absolutely. The easiest way, I have a little ebook that I wrote. It's free. It just requires you to give me your email. So I just make that request so that I can keep in communication with you. That's my preference, is the more I can educate you, the better off I think we can create together. So the ebook is really beautiful. It's on thejadeegg.com. thejadeegg.com. And there's also a bunch of free videos that are educating you on what are the myths around the whole jade egg thing, and how do I find a real jade egg, and how do I even prepare it so I can use it, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's all there, and it's free. And if you want to just in general learn more about me, then Dare Your Desire, dareyourdesire.com. And there's a ton of articles and videos there, where I'm starting more and more to just do super authentic video versus production video. Just like a question will come and I'm like, let's talk about that. So that's what's there. And Tanya, again, such a deep, deep honor and a deep pleasure to just spend time with you and with your listeners. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for tuning in. And all those resources will be, again, listed on the show page. And that is at sistershipcircle.com/episode-7. So thank you so much, everyone. And we'll see you next time for another Sistership Circle podcast.